Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
How would you like a tool that will help you be more emotionally resilient and confident, even in your intimate relationships? We'll offer you that and more on this week's podcast, How Can I Be As Confident at Home as I Am at Work? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to empower you to get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, please don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your questions. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it for me there today. Would you please? And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And let's never forget, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're hearing from Claire from Topeka, Kansas. And Claire writes, in the episode, How Do I Not Take This Personally?, you talked about shifting from our OS1 to OS2. I'm having a really hard time doing that. My parents divorced when I was 3, and they both remarried and had children with their new partners. I was the odd one out in both families. I think I was a reminder to them of their bad marriage, which they'd rather forget. I swore I'd never let my children feel unloved and unwanted like I felt. Now, when my kids or my husband are upset with me, I go into a tailspin, and I can't access the tools you've given us. I'm highly respected at work for my attention to detail and my working relationship, so I know I have a strong OS too, but at home, it's another story. I'd like to be as confident at home as I am at work. What advice can you offer me? Wow, thanks for your question, Claire. It is one I'm sure many folks have because it sounds so simple, right? Switch from your OS1 to OS2 and bada bing, there you go. No muss, no fuss. I don't overreact anymore. Everything's great. But the truth is, it's anything but easy. But just to get folks up to date who may not have listened to the previous episode, I'll briefly offer the OS1, OS2 concept and go from there. When we are children growing up, the way we are treated, the explicit and the implicit messages we're given based on what our parents say and do, and what they don't say and they don't do, becomes the way we think about ourselves. You know, in other words, when our parents validate our feelings and our emotional needs, we feel confident that our feelings and our needs are important and we're important. Conversely, when our feelings and needs are not validated, are not met, well, we're going to conclude that they aren't important and therefore we aren't important. Now, there are other elements that influence our ideas about ourselves as well. For instance, our school experiences, neighborhood experiences, siblings, extended family, etc., but parents are primary. So in Claire's case, she grew up feeling that she isn't as worthy as her half-brothers and sisters, that she isn't as important or special. Now, obviously, none of this was her fault. Claire didn't do anything wrong. But here she is, feeling what we call shame, that there is something inherently wrong or unworthy about her. And this is what I call her OS1, or the operating system that was loaded on her metaphorical computer, if you follow me there. Well, now she's a well-functioning adult and has learned to manage situations in the world quite well. But when faced with her children's or her husband's negative feelings towards her, it plugs into those feelings of unworthiness and she responds as a hurt child might. Another way of saying that is she responds from her OS1 operating system. What I encourage folks whose childhood experiences are still haunting them and interfering with their ability to manage their intimate relationships in a healthy, resilient way is to see their OS1 for what it is, the way they were treated, not who they are, and to differentiate that from their OS2. Now, their OS2 is the operating system they use in the world that is competent and self-assured. Now, Claire wants to know, that's great that I know this, but I still feel essentially unworthy in my family, and I have a hard time not taking things personally and then reacting in ways that aren't productive. Okay. How many of us can relate to Claire's experience to one degree or another? Somewhere between all of us and all of us? I'm sure, I can. Even today, I can get my defensive childhood responses up, just kind of defending against my own childhood feelings of unworthiness, much less than I used to, but, you know, there's a little bit still there. So, Claire, let's see what we can do here. You've taken the first step, which is to realize that you are important, that there is nothing you need to feel ashamed of. The way you were treated wasn't about you. It was about your circumstances. The way you were treated was unjust and made a perfectly wonderful little girl feel badly about herself. Now, step two is to realize that the adult you is not the mistreated little girl. You are a thoughtful, intelligent, competent, loving, lovable, empathic, compassionate woman. And you demonstrate that all day, every day, in a thousand ways, I'm sure. Step three is to have the healthy adult you support and help heal the hurt little girl. And when we do this, two things happen. We strengthen the adult self and heal the child self. Now, Claire, I don't want to lead you to believe that what I'm about to show you will fix everything, because it won't. It is a great exercise, however, to help you take a step forward. Maybe a giant step, maybe a baby step, but it will be a step in the right direction. So, here we go. Now, sit down in a comfortable chair and get your body in a neutral position, comfortable but not slouched or leaning back. Close your eyes, get relaxed, and imagine that a little girl comes into the room with you, and you know that she is being mistreated in much the same way that you were. That she's feeling unwanted. That there's something inherently wrong with her and she feels unworthy. How would you feel towards her? Of course, you'd feel empathy, because that's who you are. You care. And you would see her as a mistreated, perfectly lovable, special little girl, wouldn't you? Right? Take a moment and share that with her. And notice how easy it is for you to offer your caring to this little girl. Now, let's let the little girl be you as a little girl and have that little girl in the room with you. And she needs your help. What could you say to her? How about this? Let's just say your little girl is about 6 years old when she comes into the room with us. And here's what we're going to tell her. You're going to tell her. Claire, thanks for coming to visit me. I know it must feel awkward, and that's understandable. And I'm still glad you're here. I know you feel as though you aren't wanted or aren't loved as much as your half-brothers and sisters, and that maybe you just aren't as special or important as they are. And that feels terrible. And it makes you feel really sad and bad about yourself. But Claire, it isn't true that there's something wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. You're a perfectly wonderful and special little girl. Just as wonderful and deserving and special as any other little girl, even your sisters. You aren't always treated that way by your mom and dad. And maybe particularly by your stepmom and your stepdad, I don't know, but that doesn't change anything. The truth is the truth, and you are wonderful, and you deserve all the love and support you need, even a little bit more than that. Now, I know this may be confusing because it's new for you, but it's the truth. So it's okay if it's confusing because it's new and it will take some getting used to. But I'm here for you. And whenever you need support, whenever you need reassurance that you are wonderful and just as important and worthy as everyone else, you can come to me and it will be my pleasure to be with you, to listen to your feelings and give you support because I love you and I enjoy you and I want you to learn to feel good about yourself. Okay, Claire, what did we just do here? We acknowledged your little girl's feelings from the beginning. We acknowledged what she was going through, the feeling she had, and how it made her feel about herself. And then we offered her a new way to think about herself, a positive way, and we offered her unconditional love and support. This didn't entirely heal her, but it was a good and healing thing for her. I'm sure you're noticing that I'm talking about her as if she's alive and real, and you probably think maybe I got something going on in my neurology that's kind of confusing things. Well, the point is she is real. She's alive and real within you. And when you acknowledge her and you offer her love and support, every time you do it, you take another step forward in the healing process. So listeners, so often it's easy to offer support and validation to others, particularly to children, but much harder to offer it to ourselves. When that happens, it's because we were programmed to believe that we don't deserve it. So a first step is to offer compassion and empathy to an imagined child who went through much of what we went through as children. That's not so hard. And that exercise can make it easier to see our child selves as worthy of the same compassion and the same empathy. Step three is to bring that love and support to our childhood selves. And when we do, we heal our inner child and we strengthen our compassionate, now more resilient adult. This way of thinking and the exercise will support any therapy that you're doing. It can continue your after therapy growth, and it can be something you do just for yourself with or without therapy. And just so you know, most clients are very anxious about doing this exercise, but when they do it, they're totally relieved and they just love it. And of course, a word of caution, if you come from a highly traumatic background or you're having a major psychiatric issue, then doing this with the support of your therapist, who will advise you about when and how to engage in exercise like this, will be important. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to Claire, who let us take a step with her in her healing process. And just maybe she helped all of us on Earth. Hey, thanks for responding to my request for reviews on iTunes, and a few more would be greatly appreciated. And remember, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.